But the Spirit continues to disclose to us the glory of Christ, and as that is disclosed to us through the Word which He has authored and through the illumination as we read the Word, we are literally being transformed into the very image of that glory by the work of the Holy Spirit.
Welcome to Grace to You with John MacArthur. I'm your host, Phil Johnson. If the Holy Spirit had a job description, what would it include? Does He enable people to speak in tongues or heal others? What about claims of being slain in the Spirit? Is that a way God works in the church, or is that a spectacular misrepresentation of the Holy Spirit's person and ministry? To find out and to see how a right view of the Holy Spirit affects your worship of God, your spiritual growth, and even your relationships with others, stay here as John MacArthur continues his study titled, Taking the Mystery Out of the Spirit's Work. But before today's message, John, how about updating our listeners on something that still is very much in progress, but it already has been producing a good deal of fruit? I'm talking about Grace Reaches Out. It's our project to get our verse-by-verse teaching to billions of people in their native languages. Update us on that.
Yeah, the goal of Grace Reaches Out is very simple. We want to take the verse-by-verse teaching of the Word of God and translate it into many other languages. We've been doing it now for a few years. The sermon translations and voicing has been completed for the initial four languages, French, Arabic, Portuguese, and Chinese. When I say completed, I mean just that. About 600 individual sermons are available in each of those languages on our website, gty.org. That's an exciting expansion of our ministry. In 2023, we averaged just over 45,000 page views per month for those initial four languages. That's a great start. In other words, that's just reaching across the globe with the truth of the Word of God, which is why we exist. We're developing other means of distribution, including partnerships with trusted ministry organizations, and also developing a YouTube channel dedicated to our translated sermons. So what's next? Well, the 600 sermons are now being translated, as I speak, into Italian, German, Korean, Russian, Farsi, and Romanian. Amazing to think of the Word of God spreading to those populations of people. And a word about our Romanian outreach. Paul Mitchell, who directs Grace to You in Europe, has been working with a trusted ministry partner to make the Romanian material available as broadly as possible. As a result, the translated sermons have been airing on Romanian radio, and they are also available online. And in Russian, we anticipate translated sermons to be distributed soon through a website and an app, thanks to a Russian language partner ministry. These and other developments are the result of support that you provide for us. Pray that the biblical truth that goes out in all these languages will strengthen God's people across the globe and reach those that are lost and bring them to the knowledge of Christ. We're overjoyed in what God is accomplishing through Grace Reaches Out. Thank you for your support.
That's right, friend. Thank you for your support that helps spread verse-by-verse Bible teaching around the globe. And for more of that teaching, right now, here's John MacArthur with his study, Taking the Mystery Out of the Spirit's Work.
I think it is obvious to all of us that the Holy Spirit is the member of the Trinity who gets the least attention. We have many, many songs that are written and sung about God, about the glory of God, the character of God, the mighty work of God from creation through redemption. We have hymnals filled with songs of praise to God. We have many songs, perhaps even more, about the marvelous realities of the person of Christ and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, there seems to be no end to the songs that are written about our Savior. We have far fewer hymns and far fewer songs that are dedicated to the person and work of the Holy Spirit. He is included here and there as a verse or in a reference to the Trinity, but there is just not a substantial hymnology related to the Holy Spirit
And that leaves us a little on the short end of giving worship to the third member of the Trinity, worship which is due to the Spirit. We are also unlikely to tolerate a doctrinal error regarding the nature of God. We run, as it were, to rescue God from heretics and from those who would speak of Him in a way that is not a true reflection of His nature. We do all we can to protect the character of God and the work of God. We do the same for Christ. We are exceedingly eager to make sure that there is no misrepresentation of the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are careful in defining the facets of the incarnation, of the nature of Christ, the inhumanated God, the God in human flesh. We are eager to understand every nuance of His redeeming work, to understand the cross and the significance of the cross and the great doctrinal themes of redemption in all their fullness and in all their minute detail. Careful indeed we are when it comes to God and Christ. When it comes, on the other hand, to the Holy Spirit, we tend to be far more tolerant of misrepresentations of the ministry of the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, abound everywhere. We don't often come to the rescue of the great truths concerning the Holy Spirit. Church has very weak doctrines regarding the Holy Spirit, His person and work, and a very great tolerance for errors concerning the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so we're looking at the issue of how the Holy Spirit ministers to us who are in the family of God. And we started as a good departure point with Galatians chapter 3 and a question that is posed in verse 3, "Are you so foolish? Having begun by the Spirit, are you now being perfected by the flesh?" We will, if we think about it and think about it biblically, remember that our salvation is a work of the Spirit. We are begotten again by the Spirit of God through the means of the Word of truth. We are born of the Spirit, so we understand that our new birth, our regeneration, our conversion is a work of the Spirit of God. It is not by blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God through the Spirit that we have been saved. And then having begun in the Spirit, that is, begun our life in Christ in the Spirit, are we so foolish as to think that spiritual perfection can come through the flesh, through some human means? And the answer to the question, of course, is we ought not to be so foolish. We ought to recognize that as we were regenerated by the Spirit, we will be sanctified as well by the Spirit and only by the Spirit. Now, we looked at the beginning at the saving work of the Holy Spirit. We talked about four things: that the Spirit convicts of sin. Jesus said in John 16 He would send the Spirit, and when He comes, He would convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. This is the initial work of the Holy Spirit in saving a person, to convict that person of their sin. This is not natural to man. This does not come by the will of man, as we saw in the words of Jesus, who said concerning the rich young ruler, that this man is trying to do by himself something that is impossible. He cannot change his own life. Even conviction of sin, even the work of the law rendering him guilty before God under a curse and headed for eternal judgment, is a kind of conviction not natural to humanity but supernaturally granted by the Spirit of God. So He does the work of conviction. Flowing out of that is His second work. He produces out of that conviction penitence or repentance. It is also the work of the Holy Spirit to cause the sinner to repent. Thirdly, the Spirit energizes the gospel in the individual heart. It is the Spirit who makes the gospel alive. It is the Spirit who quickens the gospel, even in its preaching. 1 Peter 1:12 says the gospel was preached by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. That is, it was preached so that it penetrated the heart and in a transforming way. And of course, then, fourthly, the Spirit does the actual work of regeneration, being renewed, being given new life. That's the saving work of the Spirit: conviction, repentance, energizing gospel truth in the heart so as to elicit faith, and the work of regeneration. That's all the work of the Spirit. Salvation is all the work of the Spirit. Like the wind, it blows where it wills. It comes from wherever it desires to come. It goes to wherever it desires to go. We have no control over it. We can only see its effect. So is the Holy Spirit. He does what He wills, with whom He wills, when He wills, even in the work of regeneration, as Jesus was pointing out to Nicodemus. So it is the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, at the time of salvation, there are a number of other things that the Spirit of God does. According to the Scriptures, very clearly, the Spirit of God immediately takes up residence in the life of every believer. So that 1 Corinthians 6:19 says that we are the temple of the Spirit of God. Romans 8:9 puts it this way, "If any man be in Christ, he has the Holy Spirit. If any man have not the Spirit, he is none of His." So the Spirit of God takes up residence in the believer. 1 Corinthians 12:13 puts it this way, "We are baptized by Christ through the Spirit into the body." And so there is a baptizing work that Christ does by means of the power of the Spirit placing us into the body of Christ. That's all at the very moment of salvation. We should conclude also that at that very moment, the Spirit secures us unto eternal glory. The first chapter of Ephesians makes this very clear, that we're given the Holy Spirit as a seal. That is, we are sealed unto the day of redemption. So we receive the Holy Spirit. It takes up residence in us. The Spirit of God then, by His power, places us into the life of the church, the body of Christ. The Spirit secures us unto eternal glory. There is even a separating work of the Holy Spirit. It says in 2 Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 13, that we have been sanctified by the Spirit and faith in the truth, meaning set apart from sin. Sin no longer has dominion over us. We are set apart from it by the work of the Spirit. And another thing the Spirit does, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 to 7, is the Spirit of God grants to us ministry capabilities, supernatural ministry capabilities. These are called the gifts of the Spirit. All of this converges at the very moment of our redemption, from conviction and repentance and faith in the gospel, this whole regenerating work, to the Spirit taking up residence in us, the Spirit baptizing us into the body of Christ, securing our eternal glory, separating us from sin, and giving us ministry, spiritual, supernaturally endowed ministry capabilities. All of this occurs at our salvation. So that's how we begin in the Spirit. It is a powerful, powerful, Spirit-dominated thing to become a child of God. It is a great, mighty, pervasive, lasting, permanent work that is supernatural and is carried out by the Spirit of God. If you think about it in a Trinitarian sense, it is the Father who elects, it is the Father who draws, it is the Son who pays the price to purchase the redeemed, and it is the Spirit then who applies the work of the Father and the work of the Son to the individual. Now that we possess all of these things by means of the Holy Spirit, who has taken up residence in us, so that we are, as long as we are living in this world, indwelt by the living Holy Spirit, what is His ongoing work? Having begun in the Spirit, how are we then perfected in the Spirit? Number one, the Spirit brings us increasingly into intimacy with God. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. You have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but have received a spirit of adoption as sons by which we cry out, Abba, Father." Abba, Father means daddy. All of a sudden, we think of God as our papa, as our daddy, no longer a distant, awesome, fearful, transcendent figure, not to be toyed with, but all of a sudden we have been moved into a sense of intimacy with God, where we rush into His presence like little children, calling Him Papa in the most endearing way, and we do it without fear. And that is because of a certain attitude, a certain disposition that has been wrought in us by the work of the indwelling Spirit. And it says so in verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. This is the work of the Spirit to confirm to us that we belong to God in such a true and intimate way as to be able to call God our Papa. The same wonderful truth is laid out for us in Galatians chapter 4, where it says in verse 6, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When we speak to God with familiarity, when we speak to God with intimacy, when we talk about our God being personal and knowing God, this is the work of the Holy Spirit. The second thing that I pointed out to you last time, not only does the Spirit bring us into intimacy with God, but He illuminates the Scripture. He illuminates the Scripture. We looked at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I won't go through it again in detail, but remember what it says there, God has revealed the things which eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither can enter into the heart of man. God has revealed them through the Spirit, through the Spirit. And the Spirit has given them to us, verse 13, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. God has taken spiritual truth, God the Spirit has taken spiritual truth and put it in spiritual words in the Scripture, so that in the Scripture we have the mind of Christ. And as we learn from 1 John, we also have the indwelling Holy Spirit, who is an anointing from God who teaches us all things. So we have the Word authored by the Spirit, spiritual truths put in spiritual words, and we have not only the Scripture authored by the Spirit, but we have dwelling in us the teacher of Scripture, the anointing that comes from God. All right, number three, and we'll move along in our little outline on the basic ministries of the Holy Spirit. He glorifies Christ to us. He glorifies Christ to us. Let's look at John 15 for a moment. John chapter 15, verse 26. And here our Lord says, when the Helper comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, that is the Spirit of truth. It's talking about the day of Pentecost, talking about the time when the Spirit of God is dispensed. He is the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness of me. He will bear witness of me. In chapter 16, if you go down to verse 14, the same thing is said again. Actually, verse 13, when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. That's what we just saw in the second point. He will not speak on His own initiative. Whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. This, of course, relates to the inspiration that came by the means of the Spirit to the writers of Scripture, but it goes beyond that as well. He is the Spirit of truth. He guides us into all truth in the Scripture and as the true interpreter of Scripture residing in us. Then verse 14 says, He shall glorify me, for He shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. This is the wonderful ministry of the Spirit of God. It is to point us to Jesus Christ. Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you'll see this in a completely different context, but a very important one. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the Corinthian church, there was a debacle going on in the name of spiritual gifts. People were speaking gibberish as if it were a true gift of language from God. It was a kind of pagan gibberish, a kind of esoteric experience that is still common in some pagan environments. They were sometimes speaking, thinking it was the Spirit of God, and they were actually cursing Christ. This could be because they actually, on some occasions, spoke a language given to them somehow or spoken through them by demons. Demons were using the disarray of the Corinthian church to misrepresent the truth and to blaspheme Christ. And so he says to them in verse 1 concerning spirituals, I don't want you to be unaware. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to the dumb idols, however you were led. When you were in paganism, you were led away into mindless kind of experiences. Led astray to the dumb idols, certainly by demons. And I want this to be made known to you. No one speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. Can you imagine that in the name of some spiritual gifts from God, they were cursing Jesus? And Paul says, no one ever speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. But on the other hand, no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is concerned to exalt Christ. Anyone who exalts Christ is doing so under the influence of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit always leads us to ascribe glory to Christ, to ascribe lordship to Christ as the one glorious divine person who is our Savior and our Redeemer. Not only to lead us to salvation, it's not just to lead us to salvation. I believe that Jesus Christ is really the theme of all the Scriptures. It was He Himself who said on the road to Emmaus that He was the theme of the Old Testament. He said, search the Scriptures, they speak of Me, earlier in His ministry. And on the road to Emmaus, He began at Moses and all the prophets and the holy writings and showed them all the things concerning Himself. He is the theme of the Old Testament. He certainly is the theme of the Gospels. His Gospel is the theme of the book of Acts, and His redemptive work is the theme of all the epistles, and His glorious return is the theme of the book of Revelation. And so, He is the theme of all Scripture, so that the Holy Spirit continues in applying the truth of Scripture to us to point directly to the glory of Jesus Christ. And what does He have in mind? Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3 for just a moment. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and the last verse in this great chapter. 2 Corinthians 3:18. Paul says, we all with unveiled face, unlike Moses who had a veil over his face in his experience of the glory of God in the Old Testament, the veil is off. We behold as in a glass, clearly, unveiled, the glory of the Lord. We don't see things in a shadowy way as Moses saw when he was tucked into the side of a rock and looked out and God let the glory pass by him, only the back part of it, not the full glory. We don't have a diminished view of God such as Moses did. We don't have, nor does the Church of Jesus Christ have, a veiled view of God. In Christ, God is unveiled in a greater way than ever in the Old Testament, and He will one day be unveiled in a fuller way when He comes in His second coming and displays Himself in that glory which we will enjoy in eternity. But for now, the veil is off as it was on in the Old Testament, and we look in a clear glass and see the glory of the Lord. And where is that we look? It is in the Word of God. This is where His glory is revealed. It is revealed in the Scripture. And as we continue to see the glory of the Lord revealed in Scripture, verse 18 says, we are being transformed into the same image. We move from one level of glory to the next. This is ascending levels of glory. Another way to say, we become more and more like Christ. As we gaze at His glory, we are being transformed into the same image. What image? The image of the glory of Christ that we see in Scripture. One of the reasons that we always preach Christ, one of the reasons that I never can be content to be out of the Gospels of Christ is because Christ must always be on display. He must always be the focus of everything. Because as you gaze at His glory, you are transformed into His image, moving from one level of glory to the next, to the next. This is a typical biblical way to talk about an ascending or increasing glory. And who does the work? End of verse 18. Just as from the Lord, the Spirit. So the Spirit not only shows us Christ at the time of our salvation, energizing our faith in the gospel, but the Spirit continues to disclose to us the glory of Christ, and as that is disclosed to us through the Word which He has authored and through the illumination as we read the Word, we are literally being transformed into the very image of that glory by the work of the Holy Spirit. So in an ongoing way, He glorifies Christ to us and shapes us increasingly into the glory of Christ. You remember what Paul said in Galatians 4:19, "My children, with whom I am again in labor until Christ is formed in you." Any faithful pastor understands that we want God's people to be like Christ. This is the prize of the upward call for which Paul gave his life. He pursued the image of Christ. As we gaze on the glory of Christ, a transformation takes place. It is in some ways, an imperceptible, in some ways, a slow, not monumental transformation. It is a gradual moving, ever increasingly up the glorious ladder toward the full image of Christ. This is done by the work of the Holy Spirit. And He does it through the Word, which is where the glory of Christ is revealed and displayed.
That's John MacArthur, Chancellor of the Masters University and Seminary. The title of John's current study is Taking the Mystery Out of the Spirit's Work. And friend, going back to what John said before the lesson, your giving helps us reach people around the world that may not have strong churches with solid Bible teaching. If that kind of ministry resonates with you, consider making a donation when you contact us today.
Now, this important note, and just a reminder, the offers you hear mentioned on Grace to You are available only in Canada and the United States and Europe. Unfortunately, we are not able to process requests from your area. But know this, all of John MacArthur's sermons are available to you right now at no cost to you through our website at gty.org. You can also access video messages, study guides, helpful articles, and much, much more, answers to your questions, all of this at no charge. Stop by often at gty.org. You know, friend, our desire is simple. We want to help you understand and apply Scripture and effectively minister wherever God has given you influence. We do that through this daily radio broadcast, through sermon downloads at our website, and through everything we have to offer. Pray for us. And let us know how God is using John MacArthur's Bible teaching in your life. Our email address is letters@gty.org. And if you've benefited from this teaching and you want to be part of this global ministry, consider making a donation. We'd love to have you as a partner. You can make a donation online at gty.org. Now for John MacArthur and the rest of the staff, thank you for tuning in today. Be here for the next half hour of Unleashing God's Truth, one verse at a time, on Grace to You.